Welcome into Searching for San Antonio, part of the San Antonio Podcast Network. This series explores the Alamo City by showcasing small businesses, nonprofit organizations, and all of the wonderful people that make San Antonio what it is. Join us as we search for the true meaning of being a San Antonian. As we get started on another great episode of the podcast, I want to say thank you to the loyal listeners who have been tuning into the show week in and week out. I appreciate you all because you really make the show worth it. I also want to give a warm welcome to anyone checking out the show for the very first time. I really hope you enjoy the content and the interviews I bring to Searching for San Antonio. This week, I have a special interview for y'all. I'll be sitting down with Dr. Robert Garza, the current president at Palo Alto College. I'm excited to get to that interview, but before I do, I want to remind the listeners that this episode is brought to you by Live from the Southside. Live from the Southside is a Latina-owned online and print publication that helps residents and visitors find things to do on the south side of San Antonio and throughout Texas. Their goal is to improve and expand community relationships through promoting positive stories, interesting people, and businesses in the community. You can visit their website at southsidesanantonio.com, which is also where you can order the Live from the Southside magazine. You can also order your copy of the magazine on Amazon or simply subscribe to their newsletter to receive your online edition. Lastly, you can follow them at Southside SATX on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Huge thank you to April Monterosa and Live from the Southside for supporting the podcast. Listeners, we're going to take a quick break and then I'll be back with my interview with Dr. Robert Garza.
This is what we're made of. The businesses that line our streets and the customers that make them flourish. As a business owner, this is your community, your members, your regulars, your neighbors. Your business is unique. So are your customers. No matter who you need to reach, Spectrum Reach is here to help you connect with the right message on every screen. Visit SpectrumReach.com to connect with a local advertising expert. That's SpectrumReach.com.
Welcome back into Searching for San Antonio. Like I mentioned earlier, I have a special interview this week with Dr. Robert Garza. Dr. Robert Garza was appointed as the 7th president of Palo Alto College in July of 2018. Originally joining Alamo Colleges in the late 90s, Dr. Garza held several positions during his tenure there at Palo Alto, including Dean of Community Development and Partnerships, Dean of Student Success, and Vice President of Student Success. During his inaugural year as president, he led Palo Alto on the journey toward being named a rising star of the 2019 Aspen Prize for Community College Excellence, the nation's signature recognition of high achievement and performance in America's community colleges. Dr. Garza holds a bachelor's degree from Texas A&M University, a master's degree in public administration from UTSA, Birds Up, and a doctorate in educational administration from UT Austin. He is married to Dr. Esther Garza, an associate professor at A&M San Antonio here in town, and they have two children, Victoria and Robert. Without further ado, here is my interview with Dr. Robert Garza. Thank you for joining me, Dr. Garza. It's a pleasure to have you on Searching for San Antonio. Take us back in time a little bit. You know, give the listeners a little backstory as to how you got here and how you got appointed as the 7th president of Palo Alto College.
Well, you know, Zachary, it's been an amazing journey. I'll tell you, if I go way, way back, it starts out with me not knowing anything about college. In fact, when I was graduating from high school, about 2 months before I graduated, I'd never been to a college campus before. And my best friend, Aron, got accepted to Texas A&M University in College Station. And his parents had to work, and he asked if I could go with him. And we went to his new student orientation together. And Zachary, I tell you, I didn't know places like that existed. It was an absolute eye-opener for me. And it's like a little lever went off in my mind about education. And I came back, and my dad's like, so you're going to graduate high school in 2 months. What are you going to do? And I thought I'd join the military like my father and my grandfathers before him. And he says, if you go into the military, go in as an officer, but get a college education because you need that. And I didn't know what to do. So my dad made a commitment and went to college with me when he was in his 40s, my two older sisters, and then my grandfather, who was in the 70s. So we had three generations going to college at the same time. And then when I went off to A&M, I had the opportunity to start working in the admissions office early on in my career about recruiting students, to talking to them about the educational opportunities, because I started out at community college and then I transferred over to Texas A&M University because Lord knows with my grades, I wasn't ready for A&M College Station, but I worked real hard to get there. and got there and had that opportunity, moved over and transitioned from A&M College Station to go work as a recruiter for UTSA. Many folks don't know this, but I was the first recruiter for UTSA downtown. So in its history, I was the first one trying to get students to see the opportunities that UTSA had to offer. I was also the first recruiter for their graduate school there at UTSA, probably now over 20 years ago. And so definitely had some opportunities. So my journey at Palo Alto started. So short, long story, moving over to Palo Alto is my wife actually worked at Palo Alto Elementary School, at which was her first teaching job at South San ISD. And so I got to know Palo Alto Elementary School and the area for which it served. And there was a college right across the street called Palo Alto College, you know, just right, almost right down the road from Palo Alto Elementary. And that was real exciting for me. And I was like, you know, hey, and we had worked with them and transfer and some other things. And there was an opportunity in 1999 for an offsite coordinator. And so I applied and I was successful for the position. And it was truly a blessing because it really started a journey in the Southside community and at Palo Alto, one that I cherish with all my heart. Because now I'm really working with a community for which I feel a part of, particularly because my hometown in the Valle, they're very, very similar populations, very similar environments. And I really felt like I was at home. And I've spent the last 20 years working for Palo Alto in the Southside community, but I did take a small break when I was recruited to be a president in Dallas. So I took an opportunity to become a president at Mountain View College, but I was able to come back. And so started out as a coordinator, moved up to a director, to a dean, to a VP at Palo Alto, had the opportunity to come back to take a presidency in Dallas. And then in 2018, had the opportunity to come home and serve as president of Palo Alto College. So it's been quite a journey.
Now, you mentioned a few times in there being a proponent of the community. And in your time there, and in your short time there, you have been a huge advocate for the community. So tell us a little bit about some of the programs that you've either implemented or been an advocate for during your tenure there.
Well, you know, there is a program that I'm real proud of, and it's really a community initiative that goes above and beyond that probably anybody has ever seen before. And I'm actually wearing the shirt. It's called Educate South. And so we're real excited about this new initiative because what it does is it changes the conversation. So as I had mentioned previously, my journey, I wasn't thinking about college when I was graduating from high school. It wasn't even in my mind. Nobody in my family had gone to college before. And so it was a new concept for us. And what I want us to do, and I want, and I think, and I know that the Palo Alto College family wants to do, is to change the narrative. So like for me, my narrative was 2 months before I graduated from high school, I never stepped foot on a college campus before. We want to change the narrative so that students and children within the community, when they graduate from high school, they've been saying, I've been going to college my entire life. So with Educate South, that gives us an opportunity to do something really special. We've partnered with Texas Vista Hospital, which is right down the road for us. So every time a child is born in this community, we're going to reach out to that child and to their parents and talk to them during the prenatal phases about what is your child's college future look like, and embrace the child and let the parents know we're so excited about the birth of your new child. We know that they're going to do amazing things within our community. And it starts right here, right now, to have these conversations about going to college. So one of the things that we will be doing is when the babies have their first birthday, we'll have a big pachanga at Palo Alto College to celebrate, big birthday party for all the babies as they're turning 1 year old. And we're real excited about that because that will be their first step onto the college campus. And what I want them to say is, you know, when I turned 1 year old, I had this big birthday party at this college at Palo Alto. And that was the beginning of my journey. And then when they turned 3 and 4, we started inviting them to our robotics camps and things like that. And what I say is that if an organization and company like Chuck E. Cheese can remember my children when we have a birthday party there, why can't colleges and universities and education K through 12 remember children from the beginning to the end? So we've done some preliminary work here. So for the babies, we do have little bibs that we, oops, here we go. We have little bibs that we have for future Palominos. We also have now, which is a one of a kind, you won't see this anywhere else, but we've created this coloring book for Primo and Prima Go to College. And with Primo and Prima Go to College, what's so unique about this is that each page is a work of art. So it's designed by an art student at Palo Alto. What's also unique about this is that other than the works of art, but it also gives students an opportunity to color professions and possible careers and programs that we have at Palo Alto. So while I'm coloring, I'm learning that I might want to be a scientist, or I might want to be a doctor or a nurse or a veterinarian technician. You know, so these are very, very important pieces in here. But in addition to that, we do have other cultural pieces like Ballet Folklorico and Dia de los Muertos. And so kids are also learning about their culture. These are in English and in Spanish. And so it's very important for us to have those things. And then you talk about community expansion, which makes me even more excited because we have the Palomino pumpkin patch. So we actually have a Palomino pumpkin patch during October. So we invite community members to come in. Kids are painting pumpkins and families are on campus. Then we have the Winter Wonderland that we have in December, which is absolutely amazing, where we are the only drive-through light show that there is in the Southside community. And we put up more lights every single year. And Zachary, I'll tell you, this last December, in pandemic, people were looking for hope, and we are the beacon of hope, and our light was shining bright during the holidays, that we had bumper to bumper traffic on our campus from our main road all the way down Villarette through Highway 16 and wrapped around on 410. Our whole campus was surrounded by bumper to bumper traffic because the community and their children were getting exposed to not only light, but getting exposed to college. And that was real important to us. And then we follow that up with Eggstravaganza. We, unfortunately, because of COVID-19, we were not able to have that event this year. But the year that we had it, the previous year, and we were expecting so many more students, it is the largest egg hunt in San Antonio. We're still saying that until somebody corrects us. But we gave out over 30,000 eggs the first year. We think we would have given out well over 50,000 eggs. This year, we gave out free Easter baskets and the whole nine yards. And it was amazing because you have kids on campus learning about college, but also having fun events during our massive egg hunt that we have. And then we follow that up with our usual fiesta event, which is PacFest. And unfortunately, we won't be able to do that this year. But we did partner with District 4 Councilwoman Rocha Garcia to have me have a Show Me Your Mask competition. So that's really exciting for us to support. So you remember, Show Me Your Shoes during fiesta, Show Me Your Mask. And so it's all about our community, this Educate South. We're giving business and industry and nonprofits flags so that they can raise their flags high to let everybody know that they're committed to education in the Southside community. And we're also expanding our network and our partnerships so that we can give internships and apprenticeships with our partners. We're also, these coloring books, not only providing them for elementary schools, but we're putting them in restaurants. Like one of my favorite, Don Pedro's, is Don Pedro's restaurant. I get no incentives for saying that, but it is my favorite restaurant. And so we're dropping off those coloring books there too, so that kids can color while they're waiting for their meals and things like that with their parents. So it's about engagement in the community, and Educate South is a truly engagement initiative.
What I really enjoyed about your explanation there and a lot of the community initiatives that you talked about is it really is traced back to your past and your experience being someone who didn't anticipate that you were going to go to college. You know, I'm sure you had other ideas in mind as a child until you hit that point where you walked on a college campus and you were exposed to a college and education in general. And so what's fantastic is that now you're implementing that into this community, you know, and you're making sure that these children in this community are being faced with or at least being exposed to education and how a college can be part of your life at any stage of life. So that's what I really enjoyed and made an impact just hearing that. What are some other partnerships you have out in the community? I had read something about the Business Partner of the Month, something that was launched in 2019. So are you partnering up with local businesses in the area?
We are. So what we do is we've created a Palo Alto care team, a task force, if you will, at Palo Alto, because we go by two principles. One is care. We just got to care about people. It's that simple. You know, if the world would listen, please just care about people. And then the second is corazón. We really got to have that corazón with each other and also our partnerships and our friends within the community. So we do have a business partner of the month. Basically, what we do is we ask for nominations within Palo Alto College. Pre-pandemic, what we would do, and I'll give you an example, Willie's, just right there on 35, was one of our business partner of the month. We were real excited. And what we did was we also patroned the business. And so we let everybody at Palo Alto College know that that's our business of the month. And what we did, all went and did, is that we went out to Willie's and we broke bread and, you know, talked with Beto, who's the manager. So I went out there the other day and saw that he was still there and talked to him about, you know, the opportunities that we have for college. And we want him to know that we're very appreciative of their commitment to our community, serving out into our community. Because as you know, not all businesses come to the South Side. We're the best place there is, and we want them to come. And so when Willie's opened up, it became an instant staple on the South Side, and going out there and talking with him, and we were able to do some fundraising connections with Willie's Bar and Grill. So we were real excited about partnering with Willie's. The other is North Park Toyota, is one of our biggest partners that we have at Palo Alto. But instead of patroning, because not everybody is ready to buy a car, we brought some pizzas. We brought pizzas for the staff there at North Park, and, you know, to celebrate them and be thankful for them and their partnerships and sponsorships over the years, and just really, really going out of their way to make sure that students are successful. So, you know, the idea of business of the month is really going out into the community, recognizing the folks that are in our community and celebrating them and letting them know about the work that we're doing at Palo Alto College, but at the same time, finding ways that we can partner and find ways that we can help students either gain employment or look at different opportunities that are available to them within the community.
In this past year in 2020, I mean, it was tough for a lot of people. It was tough for students. I'm sure it was tough for the faculty and just people in the community in general. But Palo Alto saw a record year in a number of ways. Number one, I believe Palo Alto saw record enrollment last year, which is amazing. In fact, what's interesting about that is I think even UTSA, my alma mater, saw the same thing. So it's pretty interesting when people were making these assumptions that enrollment was going to go down and that people weren't going to go on campus, but it actually went up and more people were actually attending college, which is fantastic to see as far as the student body goes. But another record that was seen was that you guys had the largest donation in college history made to you guys, right?
Yeah, Zachary, this is tough because, you know, we have to acknowledge COVID-19 has had a tremendous impact on our faculty, staff, students, community, city, state, country, everywhere. And we have employees that lost loved ones along the way, friends and families that have lost loved ones and jobs. And it's one of, I think, one of the darkest times, I think, that we're going to be thinking back for generations to come. And I think that with that, you know, sadness and hurt, you know, there's always a glimmer of light within all of us that we're looking for hope and excitement. I will tell you that I'm zoomed out, you know, as a college president, and I've heard from my colleagues, we're zoomed out. And so we do Zoom free days. In fact, today is a Zoom free day for our colleagues at the college so that they can catch up on their work and do what they need to be doing. But we went and did some things. So I'll start with the pandemic. We did some things that, going back into our care and corazón, the first thing that we did is that we wouldn't host meetings before 9 o'clock. And we do that because we had families in our PAC family that have children that needed to get ready for their Zoom remote work. And as parents, that was not an easy thing to do, particularly for those that had 5 and 6 years old. Now, for me and my children who are 17 and 20, they know what to do and they can figure it out and they needed little guidance. But for those that had younger children, we made that commitment to them. We also made a commitment that we wouldn't have meetings during 12 o'clock to 1 o'clock. And the reason being is because right at 12 o'clock, what we noticed is all of a sudden the little head started to pop up in the screen because the children were looking for mom and dad or mom or dad to feed them. And so they needed to make lunch. And so hour and a half, we did at least a 15-minute break if our meetings lasted more than an hour and a half. But I think one of the most fundamental pieces that we did was an hour and a half for every employee to do self-care. Now, we were doing self-care before the research even came out, because what we did is we listened and we learned, and we heard from our employees that, you know, they were getting burnt out from Zoom. That's why that was one of the other tenets, is that we had a Zoom free day at least once a month on Fridays. But the other is that, you know, there was a lot of hurt going on. There was a lot of, you know, isolation. You know, we're at home, particularly in the darker days of COVID, when it was really out of control. We wanted to make sure that people were okay. And so we said, take an hour and a half of self-care, take care of your family, talk with your kids, do what you need to do to take care of yourself. Because I truly believe if you care for your employees, and this is, you know, maybe selfish, but if you care for your employees, they care for you back. And they also care for, you know, and we already know that they care about the community. We already know this, because they wouldn't be at Palo Alto if they didn't care about people in the community. But it takes them all that much more to be willing to do more. And so we've been blessed in many ways, because we have amazing faculty, staff, and students and community that surround and support each other in the best possible way that people can. And at the same time, folks externally are noticing that. And so when we received an email from the McKenzie Scott Group, I'll be honest with you, we thought it was my assistant thought it was a spam phishing email, because it says we'd like to make an investment. We need to talk to Dr. Garza, but we can only talk to him, you know, by himself. And there was no logo, there was no phone number, there was no address, there was no anything. And so on the fourth email, my assistant says, oh, wait a minute, this might be serious, because now they've contacted our foundation, because we hadn't been responsive. And we all go through our cybersecurity training, right? And so that had red flags written all over it. But we made a phone call one day before my birthday. I was supposed to actually call on my birthday, but I was a little anxious. So I sent him a note saying, hey, we're actually having our drive-through graduation. I'm going to be on campus. Would love to have this conversation, and called them up, and we had the conversation. And as we were talking, I was like, this seems pretty legit. And they said, do you know McKenzie Scott? And I said, you know, I know the name, but I couldn't place it at the time. And so we started talking, you know, she's an author, a philanthropist. And I was like, oh, okay. And she wants to invest $20 million in your institution. I thought the phone had, you know, either I dropped the phone or there was some static. I'm sorry, I didn't hear you correctly. And she says, no, I'm serious, $20 million. That doesn't happen, you know, at community college. It really doesn't. It's something, you know, that I actually prayed for when I saw a major donation. It was like $50 million that went to a private institution, and it goes into their billion-dollar endowments. But that doesn't happen at community college, not to community colleges on the South Side, not to community colleges in general. So when you want to make transformational change, you should invest in a community college. And what I told my team in the PAC family is, I said, look, one is we've got to do this right. And the reason why we have to do this right, because we're not only doing it for our community here in the South Side community, but we're doing it for every community college in the world. Because if we do this right and we show that we know that we have need, but we're smart about what we're going to be doing to make transformational change and transformational opportunity, then other folks that have these types of resources might think twice about investing in other areas and might think, you know what, if I really want to make the biggest difference, I'm going to invest in a community college. Because as you know, at Palo Alto, we reside in one of the highest poverty rates and one of the lowest educational attainment rates of all of Bexar County. And you talk about transformational hope, this is it. And so it's going to enable us to do things that we never thought imaginable. And this is happening during one of the darkest times. So you talk about, you know, your light dimming, you know, we went from a traditional light bulb to a, you know, fluorescent light bulb for the world, to an LED light that the world could see in the sky, because that just really took it to a whole other level. So we're very thankful, very blessed for this opportunity, and completely unexpected. And they said it was based on leadership, and it was based on results. And so our institution has time and time again has stepped up to the plate and has been results driven. But we don't look at, you know, we don't look for awards. They just so happen to come our way. What we look for is people, and we look for hope within providing that hope and opportunity for the people for which we serve. That's what's really important to us. And that's what we're really excited about.
And on the South side, like you mentioned, Dr. Garza, you know, there's some communities on that side of town that are considered low income. What's been tough during the pandemic, as you kind of alluded to, is, you know, the digital divide. And that's kind of a hot topic here in San Antonio. And you've seen the effects of that on a lot of the children on the South side and different communities around town. You know, something we talked about on the phone call before, on our initial phone call, was some partnerships with some Southside school districts. Can you talk a little bit more about that and how you're assisting them and their students?
Yeah, I will tell you a couple of things. You know, with the digital divide, many people say that this is an aha moment. You know, this digital divide, this is a thing. And for me, this is a shame on us moment because we've known for years. I mean, we as community colleges, K through 12, city, state, country, everybody knew that there was a digital divide. What the COVID-19 pandemic did is all it did was put a magnifying glass on something that we had already had been experiencing for years. So I say a shame on us moment because we as communities and as cities and states and as a country, we had an opportunity to do something and we never did enough to resolve this issue. So when something like this happened, we wouldn't be having this conversation today. And so now that it has happened and now we're in this place, we need to do something. So at Palo Alto, in fact, I was to Dr. Eduardo from Edgewood ISD yesterday and having this conversation about, you know, what's going on, you know, at Edgewood, what's going on at Palo Alto. And what we've learned is that there is this huge digital divide. So what we did as our institution is that we provided, we purchased hundreds upon hundreds of laptops. We also provided hotspots so that folks can get Wi-Fi. We also worked with our ISD partners to kind of help streamline as best we can and support. So we also created in our parking lot, so a 24/7. So if you drove into our parking lot, into our library, we upgraded our system so that you could have access, your family could have access, everybody in your vehicle could have access in a car. So, you know, we did a park and learn opportunity. We're going to be doing that again. This upcoming fall semester, we are committing to providing loan laptops for every first-time in college student that there is, and then providing them with hotspots. So if they need hotspots, we do have those available for students as well, to make sure that everybody has this opportunity. We do need to work with our partner, ISDs, probably a little bit better, but we also know that they were running into challenges as well as we were in different areas. So as you probably read on a national level, there's been this lost generation concept because students are simply not going to class anymore. I heard a statistic that one of our school districts within San Antonio, that 25% of students may not graduate because they failed at least one class during this COVID pandemic or stopped coming to class and didn't have enough credits. And so you're going to see a boom in summer school, I think, this time around, but that's not only here in San Antonio, that's on a national level. And so we're going to have to work very hard providing educational access to students. We do dual credit, early college, high school at no cost to tuition to students and their families. And so working with the superintendent from Edgewood ISD yesterday, as we're talking to these great students that were graduating from the first early college high school from Memorial and the first early college high school graduating class from Kennedy, and what we can do to help bolster that so that everybody is taking part. We do have this great program called Alamo Promise. So every student that is graduating from a partner school that is eligible for this term, this phase for Alamo Promise, definitely have an opportunity to earn tuition and fees at no cost of tuition and fees. But not all students are not taking the opportunity to do the save your seat. And so that has become more of an understanding during this troubling times that we might have students that be coming during the summer that may have missed that opportunity, but we're here to help and we're going to help them in any possible way that we can.
You know, you talked about the statistics and I've seen some of that. I work in financial services. I have a lot of clients on the South Side that are educators that work in Southside ISD. And in pretty much all of the conversations I've had with them, they've mentioned that there's a lot of students just not showing up. You know, they don't hear from, you know, it's sad. It's sad because you don't know how that's going to affect that child going forward and their education going forward and maybe their mental health. You know, you talked about that earlier as well, mental health being a huge issue during this pandemic. I don't know how that's going to affect them, but I will say that I think that by you guys just having a huge presence in the community with children, I think that's going to help and maybe steer them back on the right track.
Well, I tell you, Zachary, and I'm gonna share this with you. Folks, you heard it here on Zachary's podcast first, because we haven't made an official announcement. But to the point you're saying where students are not showing up in K-12, they're not showing up at the college. Some of our students are just simply not coming back, and they don't drop their course, or we don't know the rhyme or reason why they stop coming. So you hear this first on your podcast. We are entering into an agreement, so we're working out the details, and it looks like we're going to be moving forward with it with communities and schools who's been a great partner. So at Palo Alto College, for the first time in our history, and probably the first time in the history of any community college in the country, if you stop coming to our class, we're going to send somebody to your home. So we're going to send somebody to knock on your door and say, hey, we noticed that you stopped coming to class, or hey, we noticed that you're not doing well in school. What's going on? And so we want to make sure that our students are aware of the services and the support that we have that's available to them. Because oftentimes students will not self-advocate, or they don't know, or they're misinformed, or they don't have the information to make informed decisions. So when you stop coming to our college and to class, then we send somebody in and say, hey, these are the tutors that are assigned to you, and they're ready to help you if you're struggling academic. If we learn that you have food insecurity, housing insecurity, need help with your childcare or transportation or whatever the challenge is, we have services that are readily available for students. And then we want to have conversations with students. And now we're at your home. Let's have this conversation. Is there a place that we can help you and provide you with some support that will get you back to class, get you caught up, and ultimately get you a college education so that you can get that above living wage that we're all looking for to transfer to that four-year institution, maybe UTSA. I see the Roadrunner patch there on your shirt. So definitely looking at those opportunities for students to explore, but we can't do it if we don't do an active engagement with the students. So this is kind of a new concept for community colleges or any college or university in general. I've never seen it anywhere else. And so this is kind of our way of saying we can't afford to let students fail and be not successful. Our community is dependent upon them, because our businesses are also dependent upon them. But more importantly, that student's family is dependent upon them and for generations to come. And the way that we're going to eradicate poverty in San Antonio and the United States is through education. That's something we firmly believe on. That's something that is supported and messaged by our chancellor and board of trustees, is that where they want to wrap around and they want to be part of the solution. And we're going to do everything that we can to help students.
Talk a little bit about the opportunity that high school graduates have in attending a community college. And the reason I want to get into this conversation is because I have heard personally from people that I graduated with, or just people down the line that I ended up either working with or just knew, sometimes they didn't go to college because of the cost. It was already predetermined in their mind that there was going to be a huge, huge tuition cost. Another hot topic in, you could say, the media, but just nationally, is tuition costs. And a lot of times it has to do with universities. But kids hear that, or families hear that, and they just associate any college with that high tuition cost. But what opportunity do these high school graduates have attending a community college, at least for the first couple of years?
So first and foremost, we want students to enroll. And let me tell you, all of the opportunities are available out there. So first and foremost, there's dual credit. So students enroll in dual credit at any of the Alamo colleges, whether it's Palo Alto, Sac, St. Philip's, Northwest Vista, Northeast Lakeview, any of our institutions, sister institutions, students can enroll in dual credit at no cost of tuition and fees to the student or their families. Let me say that again. No cost of tuition and fees for the student or their families. So you can earn in dual credit up to 42 hours of college credit at no cost. And 42 hours is core complete. So now I have all my basics that I need to go into whatever field I want to, and it doesn't cost me anything. The second option is early college. So if there's an early college partnership with any of the Alamo colleges, a student can earn up to 60 hours and earn an associate's degree at no cost of tuition and fees for the student or their families. The key is that also, in addition to high tuition rates that you're hearing at other institutions, not at Palo Alto or Alamo colleges, but you're hearing about those rising costs of tuition and fees. But with us, if you take advantage of dual credit in early college, high school, and you're not paying for anything, guess what? When you graduate with an early college degree, for instance, an associate's degree, you leave debt free. So that's the other conversation going on is student loans. You don't have to take out loans. You've been given a 2-year scholarship. Then we have what's called Alamo Promise. And with Alamo Promise, if you go to South Sand, Southside, Memorial, Kennedy, Harlingdale, you know, McCollum, East Central, Somerset, Southwest, like any of those South Side schools and West Side with Memorial and Kennedy, is you can earn up to 60 hours in 3 years at no cost of tuition and fees. So if you didn't even finish, so I have 42 hours and I need 18 hours, come to us, and then you're getting it at no cost of tuition and fees if you're at one of those qualifying schools. The movement that we're going to, we're going in phases because of funding support. Of course, if there's funders out there that want to help us, we will definitely take those dollars to go a long way. But we're going to be expanding that ultimately over time to all public schools in Bexar County, which means that if you go to a Bexar County school, ultimately and eventually at Northside or Northeast or any of those schools, then you can earn 60 hours of tuition and fees at no cost to the student or the family. And again, leave debt free with no student loans. Big opportunities. And then even if you don't take advantage of any of those things, you come to us, we're going to help you with financial aid. And we do have scholarship dollars and we do have support mechanisms. Like right now for our Keep Learning plan in the summer, students that were enrolled with us, if they go, if they're taking 6 hours or 9 hours during the summer, we have financial support for them so that they can keep moving during the summer, as well as if they come in the fall. We're working on an advantage plan that will also be able to help students enroll in the summer or in the fall that covers those financial gaps. There is something out there for everyone. Community college is the most affordable. You'll get the best education, and then you can come to us and we have something that we can, you know, let's have the conversation. Let's explore. Let's look at your options. And you're right. There are universities that are increasing tuition and fees. We're not one of them. We're looking at these different opportunities for folks to help them grow and to provide the necessary support that we can. And there's several avenues.
Well, I think it's so vital for families to understand that for their high school children and just children in general, as far as, you know, what the next step is after they graduate from high school. And I don't know if it's like this today. I know it was like this for me growing up and probably the years before me graduating high school. But people just had that mindset maybe, or they just heard that, oh, you know, you go to community college. And it's like, why was that put out there? Why did people have that mindset that you had to go to a university? I think it's so important now for families to understand that there's not one route. There's not one way. My dad always says there's more than one way to skin a cat, right? There's so many different avenues that you can explore once you graduate high school. And I think attending community college should be one of them, if not one of the main options to look at. It's cost effective, you know, and this is coming from a financial advisor, right? I mean, you know, cut down on those student loans that you're going to end up paying, because, man, I come across a ton of clients, especially teachers, that they're just in a mountain of debt because of their education costs. And I'm glad I'm someone who, even though I graduated eventually from UTSA, I took dual credit from Northwest Vista. And I took some of my summer classes there as well, took advantage of the cost, you know, and got a great education, had some awesome instructors there. And, you know, it was a great experience. You know, unfortunately, some folks don't take advantage of that. But I think it's important, especially now, especially with the increasing tuition costs at universities for high school graduates, to take advantage of that. And anyone to take an advantage of that if they're looking to further their education.
Absolutely. I mean, we're the best game in town. And when some folks say, well, you're going to a community college, when they come to Palo Alto, it's like, oh, you're going to community college. Yeah, you're going to the best and number one community college as per our work with Aspen as a rising star. You're going to the number one community college in the state and the number two community college in the country. Yeah, that's a pretty bad deal. And of course, it's a great deal, you know, and it may not cost you anything. You're meeting with faculty. Look, I'm a product of a community college. I went to Texas Southmost College once upon a time. They gave me my start and helped me build to when I went to A&M College Station. And I was successful at A&M College Station, then ultimately started at a community college, but look where I went. I graduated from A&M College Station, got my master's there at UT San Antonio, and then ultimately my PhD from UT Austin. And so, I mean, It started at a community college. So what would have been my life if I had went directly to the university? And now one of the other things that we've heard from our university partners is that our students also outperform, often outperform native students that start out as freshmen. And so we prepare our students to be successful at four-year institutions. And we've heard that from our university partners, and we hear it from our students. And we have students that, you know, that started out at Palo Alto in a community college that are doctors, lawyers, engineers, and have been very successful in their lives. And it started there. Now, the catch is, and the key is for us, is that we tell folks, such as yourself, Zachary, is don't forget about us. So I'm sure that Dr. Baser would love for you to tell your story to other students that are interested in Northwest Vista, but I'm sure he would also love for you to open up your checkbook as a financial advisor and help support other students coming forward. And if you don't want to do that for Northwest Vista, you can definitely do it for Educate South at Palo Alto.
Well, let's talk a little bit about San Antonio, because how long have you been living here in San Antonio now?
Since 1996 is when I first moved out to San Antonio.
So you've been in San Antonio a while now. What are some of your favorite places in not just the Southside community, but just around San Antonio as well?
So I used to be a runner. I'm a former ultra marathoner. Back in the day, my top limit was 50 miles. But I'll be honest, I'm not a big fan of nightlife of Riverwalk, but I love the Riverwalk in the morning. When you can run along the Riverwalk, it's so peaceful, and you're running downtown and you see folks kind of starting out their day, you know, anywhere from 6:30 in the morning to 7:30-ish, 8 o'clock, you know, it's a whole different feel. Now, I mean, I love to go to the Riverwalk too, but in the morning when that peace is just absolutely amazing. The other is, you know, if you ever gone to Opeach Knoll or to Government Canyon Park to go and just to walk or to run. And if I take a deeper dive, I will say that I love Don Pedro's. Don Pedro's is my favorite restaurant. I eat there often. I love going out. A friend of mine, when I was at UTSA a long time ago, Judy Moreno, got me used to exploring places to go eat within the community. And so she used to be my tour guide when I was working at UTSA. And when I go to the South Side, you know, there are places like Camarón Pelado that, you know, like that were really good during Lent. And then, you know, you have Willie's, which is a great partner, and I love their gumbo. So they're really good. You know, so there's different, you know, Georgia's tacos that are just right down the road. So many great places to go eat and to go explore. The missions are really good to go and visit and see. And to understand what's around us. You know, the downtown's got a good vibe, good feel to it. I love the natural spaces that are around. I think that those are really exciting, particularly for those that want to explore the outdoors. And then, you know, when it comes to food, Lord knows I love to eat. And Don Pedro's is my number one for me.
What I really wanted to say about your experience leading you to making a difference is, I have to say the same thing about San Antonio, and it just reminded me when you were talking about that. I had a different perception about San Antonio. It wasn't until I got the full picture. I was exposed to different things around San Antonio, different communities, different lifestyles. That's what really changed my mind. So that's what I really enjoyed about conversing with you and you bringing up your story about how you were exposed to that at A&M and how that changed your mindset going forward, and you've let it influence you down the road. And it's the same thing for me. I've let it influence me. It's one of the purposes of this podcast is to give people the full picture. And I think that's the same thing with children growing up. It's like they're just missing that full picture. And if you can give them that full picture, you know, you can get them on the right path.
Absolutely. I think that there's something for everyone in San Antonio. The catch is that you can't find it if you stay in your home. You got to find a way to get out, to find something that connects with you, whether it's volunteering at the San Antonio Food Bank, whether it's volunteering to be a mentor for someone, getting involved in Big Brothers, Big Sisters, any number of opportunities that are available out there for folks to go in. And so I can say you can go to any city in the world and it will be boring if you don't take the time to explore what's out there and connect.
Well, last question for you, Dr. Garza, before we let you plug in some of the, you know, website and socials for Palo Alto. You know, how do you want to be remembered here in San Antonio or at Palo Alto?
I'm going to say that it's not really me that I hope people remember. I really want people to remember my faculty and staff and students and community. It's important to me. And one of the things that we did at Palo Alto that folks may or may not know is that if you work at Palo Alto for at least 20 years or 15 years at Palo Alto and maybe 5 years at the district offices, but you know, 20 years service, that's 20 years that you spent with us that you didn't spend with your family during that time. And so we dedicate a tree, and it's really exciting for me when I walk around the campus, I see these plaques with names of people that I've known for a long time. And it's important because we're recognizing folks, not just the president. You know, we tend to recognize, you know, the top leaders. And my question has always been, what about everybody else? And so what you see around on the campus is, you know, these great plaques that have commemorative spirit of staff members, faculty members, you know, the facilities folks. And I think that that's important that they are remembered. I remember going into one of my classrooms at the performing arts, and I go, this is Dora Ruffner's room, because I remember when we built this dance studio, Dora Ruffner was a part of that. And she, well, she wasn't a part of it. She really led it. And we worked together, and there was a beautiful dance studio at the end. And I went to a meeting shortly after, and there's about 30 employees there. And I said, how many of y'all remember Dora Ruffner? And out of the 30, probably about five people raised their hands. And so we're one retirement away from people forgetting of who we are. And that bothers me because Dora Ruffner was an amazing faculty member, somebody that really cared about students and cared about people. And I remember her, and she passed away. I don't want there to ever be an opportunity for her legacy to ever not live. But I think that for everybody at Palo Alto. When it comes to myself, you know, I just hope people remember me as somebody that just cares about people. You know, I mean, that's what I want to be remembered at. I don't want to be, people might say, well, you know, he's the Mackenzie Scott guy, or, you know, that got the money, you know, and it's like, I didn't get that. You know, I mean, we got it. You know, I mean, it's more about we than me. And I think that that's important. And it's something I truly believe in. We don't move mountains, and we don't transform communities, or, you know, we're not the beacon of one, we're a beacon of all. And I think that that's the most important thing that anybody should live to strive, is to get people to remember their institution and the success that they're having. But it's not a one person game. It's everybody. And it's not even just the people at the, like for me, it's not even the people at the college only, it's the community. It's everybody moving in.
Well, let our listeners know where we can find you guys, the website, any socials, and any upcoming events that you want to let the listeners know of.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, I'll tell you that we have our Show Me Your Mask that's up and coming in June, but I understand we might be changing the date a little bit, and it is more of a intimate type event because we are following COVID-19 protocols at Alamo Colleges. So we're real excited about that. If you're interested in Educate South, you know, come to our website at www.alamo.edu/PAC. Come out to our institution. Come take a look at what we have to offer. That will help you, you know, find out information about different programs that we have to offer, registration, if you have family or friends that are interested. It will tell you about any of our upcoming events, because we're going to start up. We believe we're going to be able to start up a little bit more this coming year, you know, whether it's our pumpkin patch, our winter wonderland, our extravaganza, and hopefully PackFest in 2022. More importantly, too, is if you're interested in Educate South, or if you're interested in partnering with us, come to our website and let us know, because we do just click on Educate South. It'll take you to the site. We'll have some interest questions for you, and then send it, and then we will respond and have the conversation about how we can move forward and partner together.
Absolutely. And I tell you, you know, I'll find a way to see how the podcast can help out with Educate South. And I do appreciate you taking time out of your day, and I know you're a busy guy, but I appreciate you coming onto the podcast and giving the listeners a little bit of insight into Palo Alto and the different things that you do for the community.
Hey, Zachary, thank you for the opportunity, and very appreciative of the opportunity to talk about Educate South, talk about the things that we're doing here at Palo Alto College. We're really, really excited about what's going on. And with your help, hopefully we'll reach others to let them know what we're doing, and hopefully they'll want to reach out and get involved.
That's going to wrap up my interview with Dr. Robert Garza. We're going to take a quick break, and I'll be right back with my interview recap. Stay tuned. Hey, guys, it's Zach. As some of you may know, I help people plan for retirement. And as your advisor, I can not only show you how money truly works, but put you in control of your money today and in retirement. If you're looking to schedule a financial review, please give me a call at 210-760-0409. Welcome back into Searching for San Antonio. I want to thank Dr. Garza again for joining me on the show. I had a great time speaking with him about the different ways they reach out to the community and partner up with other community leaders and businesses. I'll be honest, this was one of those interviews where I really had to sit back and kind of pinch myself because I never thought I'd be interviewing a college president. Palo Alto is not just a college here in San Antonio. Palo Alto is a staple. It's been a pillar of the South Side of San Antonio for more than 35 years. And I mentioned it in the interview, but his story about stepping foot on a college campus and that moment changing his career trajectory really stuck out to me. I can confidently say that there has to be millions of other people out there that share the same or at least a similar story. If you think about it, your life is basically a never-ending, I shouldn't say never-ending, but a series of choices, right? And a lot of these choices are made and influenced by your past experiences. And had Dr. Garza never stepped foot on that campus, who knows where he would have been? I'm not here to share my opinion on whether or not every person needs to go to college after they graduate high school. I guess I can save that opinion for an episode of SA Talk, and I will. But I will agree with Dr. Garza when he mentions that education plays a huge role when you're trying to lift future generations out of poverty. With Educate South, Palo Alto College and Dr. Garza can help ensure that kids, especially ones that are growing up in a low-income neighborhood or household, are exposed to college at such an early age. I talk a lot about walking the walk here on the podcast, a lot, and in my opinion, this is a prime example, a huge example, really. You can tell just by listening to the interview that Dr. Garza loves what he does. He has a community heart and he really wants to see change. If you want to read more about these initiatives like Educate South or just more general information about Palo Alto and all the wonderful things they do there in the community, visit their website at alamo.edu/PAC or PAC. If you want to keep up with Palo Alto College, follow them on Twitter at PACPR or PACPR. You can follow them on Facebook and Instagram at Palo Alto College. And you can check out their YouTube channel by searching Palo Alto College as well. That's going to do it for another episode of Searching for San Antonio, part of the San Antonio Podcast Network. Thank you for tuning in to another show. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you haven't done so already, please give the podcast a rate and review on Apple Podcasts. It really helps the show grow. More importantly, get these wonderful San Antonio voices out there. As always, if you want to keep up with the show and our other series, SA Talk, please give us a follow on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at SA Pod Network. If you have any questions about advertising or partnering up with the podcast, please reach out to me at Zachary@sapodnetwork.com, or you can find our email at our link in bio on social media. You can also find our sponsorship pricing and packaging at our link in bio as well. The podcast is currently accepting new sponsors, so be sure to get your ad on the show before spaces run out. If you want to help support the podcast, you can find our Cash App link in that same link in bio, and you can also contribute monthly via Anchor. Again, just visit that link in bio for all of that information. Thanks again for all of your support. I appreciate all of you. Have a wonderful week and viva San Antonio.